The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Thanks to you. Now that I'm back down to earth, I've landed. I'm not on a plane. I'm not on a train. I'm actually watching a phenomenal sunset in Tel Aviv.
Oh, absolutely wonderful. Do you know about this this Eurovision song toy? When is Eurovision?
Well, it should be coming up relatively soon. You know, it's the annual Super Bowl
next year,
the United Nations that every Israeli cooks on. But I've heard about the song, but I have to confess to not hearing it.
All right. From what I'm hearing from such a star, I'm not sure it's a bad thing. We're going to maybe play it tomorrow and we're going to let our listeners decide. So that's Israel's entrance into Eurovision. And Sasha's saying it's a little unusual.
It is. It's by a woman called Netta. And the song, as you mentioned, is called Toy. It's unusual. It's got a bit of a beat to it. I'm not sure our listeners will like it, but I thought it was quite cool.
All right, so Unsigned has sent us a message from Israel saying the song Toy is out. What do you think of it? We're going to play it tomorrow for our listeners, but if you can let us know what you think of it, because you clearly are listening from Israel and know that. Let's just talk about, there's been a lot of updates since we decided what we were speaking about, Rolene. First of all, Trump, Tillerson, finally that the relationship status has changed to no longer in a relationship.
Well, I tell you, it doesn't stop at the White House with musical chairs, and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is the latest casualty in Trump's maneuverings, and he will be replaced by the former director of the CIA, Mark Pompeo. So, once again, big shakeups at the White House, and this time a major, major casualty. In other words, I join in Unsigned, who wrote in saying that, you know, perhaps it was over the Iranian deal. The Iranian deal is the big hot topic of discussion for the Trump administration. Now, Trump threatening during his election campaign to clear up the deal, and concerns by Israel that the Europeans might change the deal cosmetically, but not enough to really stop Iran from becoming a nuclear power. So the onus is on America to put the pressure on and to see how we proceed with the Iranian deal from now. It does need to have, in order for the Israelis to be satisfied, a major, major overhaul if it is not repudiated at all.
Very, very. It's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye. A German ambassador to Iran has praised Holocaust denial.
Well, this is a big story, and I'll tell you why, because it is a crime to deny the Holocaust in Germany, as it is in other Arab countries. And Germany's ambassador to Iran at the Munich conference actually praised this particular Iranian member of parliament, who at this conference said that we might have different perspectives on the Holocaust. He didn't outright deny the Holocaust, but he just said that we may have a different perspective. And the German ambassador to Iran has praised this particular person. And this is of huge, huge concern, because not only is this particular ambassador, as well as the soon-to-be former foreign minister of Germany, Sigmar Gabriel, I won't say pro-Iran, but they're very keen on doing business with Iran. They've taken delegations to Iran. But this is a big concern, especially since we see the movement in Poland at the moment with regards to legislation around the Holocaust, and also knowing that in Europe, denying the Holocaust is a crime.
So has there been any retraction? I mean, what's actually happened with the story?
There hasn't been any retractions, but I think that this could be a story to watch, because we heard Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, right after Poland announced their intention to legislate around the Holocaust and responsibility in the Holocaust and the issue around Polish death camps. Are they Polish death camps? Are they Nazi death camps? You know, how do they phrase it? We heard Angela Merkel come out very, very strongly claiming German responsibility for Nazi genocide and atrocities during the Second World War.
It'll be very, very interesting to see how Germany deals with it, because they have protected this very, very closely. I mean, you were just in Berlin and you could see the lengths that they've gone to ensure that the history becomes part of the present.
Well, absolutely. You know, they are very, very committed to ensuring the education of future generations. I don't think a day goes by where there isn't some kind of educational program on German television so that people understand their past, they take accountability, and they educate future generations. And this kind of support for Iran, especially since Iran is using the same kind of language we heard just before the Holocaust, the threatening to wipe, or in this case, Israel off the map. Mm-hmm. And when they talk about Israel, we know they mean the Jewish state. And the denial of the Holocaust goes against everything that Germany has really worked very, very hard over the last 70-plus years to try and correct.
Indeed. Let's just talk about the elections. Is it going to happen? Isn't it going to happen? There's a lot of moving parts here, and every 5 minutes we seem to be getting another update. What is the latest on the Israel election story?
Well, we have quite a few updates. We know that Bibi met with Avigdor Lieberman. He is the defense minister. He, incidentally, is not a member of Knesset, which is very interesting, but he is the defense minister, and this is with regard to the military draft. We also know that Haredi parties are against the military draft. They want to install a legislation that Torah learning is just as important as serving in the military, and that they don't actually want to go to elections. Bibi has come out saying that he is not scared of early elections, but also what we've heard, just to add more fuel to the fire, and it's another moving part, are the parties of Meretz, which is the far left, and Yesh Atid, which is center-right, calling for the dissolving of the Knesset so that they can go to early elections. We've also heard now that Miri Regev wants to become the defense minister in a possible new election result or a new coalition. And what we do know for sure is that the current coalition, as far as it stands, is shaky, and that if Netanyahu does not get support for his coalition as it currently stands to pass the budget for 2019, we will most certainly go to elections.
Does Netanyahu think, I mean, we don't really know what he thinks, obviously, but are there indications that he thinks he's going to retain power after in the next election? Surely not.
Well, he is always confident, and he a couple of weeks ago, he did have a relatively high approval rating. However, the current investigations against him are going to harm him quite significantly. There is a sense of Netanyahu fatigue in the country. A lot of people think that it's time for a new energy, new breath. However, who will that person be? Will it be Moshe Yaalon, Moshe Bogi Yaalon? Will it be Yair Lapid? Who will it be? Will it be Herzog, even though many feel that he doesn't have the strength and the personality formidable enough to lead Israel? There is a lot of recrimination against Sarah Netanyahu, who the Israelis see as having entirely too much control over her husband. So it remains to be seen. What we do know for sure is that it will be quite an aggressive election campaign should we move forward, and it might follow the same kind of language that we saw with the Trump campaign, where things get very, very personal.
Wow, so it really is going to get, I just can't see it, and you know, maybe I don't have the right perspective, but I cannot imagine how Netanyahu can think that he has any chance of retaining it. And I would imagine that people, that members of Likud, who would like obviously to retain as many seats as possible, would recognize that he is actually a liability at this point.
Well, what we do know is that politicians like Gideon Sa'ar, who is a member of the Likud, has come out of his retirement from politics, and he's very young, he's only in his 40s, He's come out of retirement. He's come back into politics. He's come back into the Likud. And should the Likud go to primaries, it would be very interesting to see if somebody like him places. If Netanyahu, in fact, manages to retain the top post as head of the Likud party. If they go to primaries, you know, it could shake the whole thing up quite significantly.
Do they have to? I'm sorry, just for my own clarification. Do they have to go to primaries, or can they go straight to elections now?
Well, normally they do, because we have to have some kind of a list first, because Israel is, the government is based on proportional representation.
Right.
So each party has to come up with a list, and depending on the proportion of votes they get, so those members on that list fulfill positions within the government. They get a seat in the Knesset, so to speak. So they do have to go to primaries, and it will be very, very interesting to see how the Likud primaries will fare.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm most fascinated by, is how much Likud are going to be able to stand up to their leader. Look, we've seen that, and I'm not comparing for 1 minute Netanyahu to Zuma, but we have seen an ANC party who wanted to get rid of the guy and move forward with fresh leadership for some time, but have been unable to do so. That's the only comparison, not obviously comparing Netanyahu and Zuma. But it is interesting to note, and it'll be interesting to see how they are able to deal with them. Well, and signs saying just the word Bennett. So obviously that's where his support base lies. Before I let you go, Rolene, Nikki Haley has warned that if the United Nations Security does not act on Syria, the U.S. will.
Well, it's about high time we've heard some kind of threat against what is happening in the province of Ghouta in Syria, where we know that hundreds of people have been killed from incessant onslaught of rocket attacks. And the U.S.'s ambassador to the United Nations has warned the Security Council that they need to do something to stop the slaughter of civilians in Ghouta. If they don't, the U.S. then will act decisively, and they will resume some kind of campaign. We saw it not so long ago with regards to gas attacks against Syrian civilians. The USA sent their bombers to the region, and they bombed various gas-making facilities. So it remains to be seen, will the Security Council listen to Nikki Haley and to the United States? I don't think that it's an empty threat, as we've seen before. I think one of the big criticisms of the Obama administration was that he spoke about red lines and did not act decisively. And the Syrian civil war has escalated into all-round genocide, and we will want to see the United States take some kind of leadership with regards to dealing with how to end the civil war and how to protect the Syrian civilians.
Absolutely. And science says Netanyahu's legacy will be one of the greatest presidents ever. He's done an amazing job. The truth is, I'm not sure that he hasn't done an amazing job. I just think that it's time for new leadership. That's very much my view on this.
Well, just to put in a slight correction, he's not a president. He's a prime minister. The roles in Israel are very, very different between president and prime minister. Netanyahu, when asked last week at the World Economic Forum what his legacy would be, he said his legacy is one of strengthening the Israeli economy, which he has done. The economy is very, very robust, and he wants his legacy or his personal legacy to be that of a warrior for the state of Israel.
Absolutely. Now, Russ saying, this one is for Sasha and Rolene and me, just watched Toy on YouTube. I turned off after 20 seconds. Don't do it, Howard. It's not worth it.
Well, forewarned is forearmed.
Absolutely. Say. Now you know, Russ, that you're going to make me. You've really, really made me want to go and watch it.
Listen, I'm not warning you that it isn't eclectic.
No. You're using the word eclectic now.
It's eclectic,
right? Because you have no idea what to call it.
Well,
I find that whenever people use the word eclectic, they mean it's so all over the show, they have no idea.
It is a little bit all over the show, but with this very bizarre club beat.
Oh, gosh. All right, but we're definitely going
to...
Russ, I'm sorry,
it.
But we are going to try tomorrow and see what our listeners have to say. Let's see if you can get past 20 seconds tomorrow. Time is 5:56. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. Rolene, we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
I have a second nationwide tour to get to at 7:05, but we'll see you same time, same place tomorrow.
Absolutely right. That's the Israel Report brought to you by the Blue Agency.